evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey, welcome, friends, to another episode of the Amber May Show. I'm so glad you are joining me today because we're just going to dive into some news articles that I think are fascinating. I really want to get into some more insight on the bridge collapse, and Stitchfield did a great job, and he had a great segment on his show recently that talks about that. But then we're also going to talk about the economic hit that's not just hitting here in the United States, it's hitting worldwide, and that's for you not to be able to own any property ever and not be able to ever purchase a house in your life. And that is a real threat that is happening not only here in the United States, but across the world, and we're going to get into that. So I hope you like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor, and the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com and hit the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. You could also be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com and subscribe there, and that helps support the program. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. Find me there as well. But I wanted to let you know about a great cup of coffee. So if coffee's your thing, you might want to try Freedom First Coffee. They use a unique roasting process from the Victorian era. First Roasters, which brings back the forgotten art of coffee roasting, and then they using these roasters, they roast only the finest beans in perforated drums over an open flame, which caramelizes the sugars when the fire comes into contact with these beans. While this is an extremely tedious process, it creates the perfect coffee experience that cannot be duplicated. So pick up a bag today at freedomfirstcoffee.com. That's freedomfirstcoffee.com. And when you use promo code AMBER, you're going to save money at checkout. So go grab your bag of coffee at freedomfirstcoffee.com, promo code AMBER at checkout. Well, without any further ado, we're going to get into all the articles and all the news that are happening right now. Hey friends, welcome back. Like I said, we are having a new show segment today. We have a lot of videos to go over. And first, I want to start out with Dave Rubin from the Rubin Report. He had this great segment that he had on a show recently about Jon Stewart attacking Trump about his hypocrisy. And then he himself has hypocrisy. I mean, this is unreal. And we just talked to, just a couple days ago, we talked to Chris Bogard, and his background is in Hollywood. He was a Hollywood actor. He was a filmmaker. He still is a filmmaker. And we know that the Hollywood scene is captured, right? And so they're going to use all kinds of things, whether it is Hollywood, they're going to use comedy, they're going to use all kinds of things to try and persuade the conversation. But the thing is, we're not buying it anymore. So here, Jon Stewart is supposedly happy, a funny man. Not funny. The jokes, you know, they're laugh tracked. No one's laughing at these jokes, and Hollywood is falling on its face. So let's check out what Jon Stewart had to say from the Dave Rubin Report. It was a great segment, I thought.
I don't know if you know this, but most people just can't commit fraud and expect to face no repercussions, even if everyone's doing it.
Daily Show host Jon Stewart. It's no longer a Daily Show because it wasn't profitable, obviously, and he's now doing it once a week, but they still call it The Daily Show. And here he is going after Kevin O'Leary. Now, Kevin O'Leary, we've shown you a bunch of clips of him lately because he has been defending Donald Trump in these clown court cases. Again, the major case was the New York case, which was about overinflating the property, Trump's properties for loans. Everybody got paid back. Trump was still fined $464 million, which a later judge, an appeals court, lowered to $175 million. But Kevin O'Leary has been defending him. and saying this is not even about Trump. This is about weaponized judicial systems. That really is the problem. But the machine has brought John Stewart back to try to take out anyone that makes sense. Take a look at this comedy. Yeah, I guess we'll call it comedy. Okay.
Surprised to hear this from Kevin O'Leary, a guy who's such an wait, that even the other people on Shark Tank thinks he's an Now, he's very chill. How is he not this mad about overvaluations in the real world? Because they are not victimless crimes. First, the banks got paid back at lower interest rates. Although, to be honest, who gives a shit? But second,
okay, so let's pause. He said the banks got paid back. So who's the victim here if the banks got paid back? Okay, continue.
Isn't infinite. A loan that goes to the liar doesn't go to someone who's giving a more honest evaluation. So the system becomes incentivized for corruption. And this is part of a different Trump fraud case, but avoiding taxes hurts all of us. Donald Trump shenanigans cost the city of New York. And to be honest, entitled arrogance. I don't know if you know this, but most people just can't commit fraud and expect to face no repercussions, even if everyone's doing it. Try getting a car.
What fraud happened if Donald Trump paid back his loans and the bank loaned him the money? If the bank loaned him the money, they always do, you know, appraisals. If the bank felt like Donald Trump could pay them back, and Donald Trump paid him back? So where's the crime here?
Or loan by saying you have 10 times as much money as you really do, or claim 20 dependents when you have no children, or say you make slightly less money to qualify for food assistance. I will guarantee you there are not just financial consequences for those lies, but criminal ones. But don't tell that to the investment community, because in their minds, in pursuit of profit, there is no rule that cannot be bent. There is no principle that cannot be undercut, as long as you and your f-ing friends are making money.
Everything he just said there was the reverse of the truth, because if you go for a car loan, you can't just tell the bank, right? So you go to buy, I remember my last car loan was to get a Chevy Equinox. I didn't walk into Chevy and just say, hey, I'd like to put down $200. Could you lay out the 25 grand for me? And they're like, well, you'd like 25 grand. We sure'd like to give it to you. No, they do a credit check on you. They see how much credit they think you'll be able to pay back and what the interest rate's going to be and everything else, which is exactly what the banks did as it pertained to Trump. And then the banks all got paid back. So these, they, John Stewart, like, you're worth, you've got to be worth probably 100 mil, and you hate the system that allowed you to do that. That's deeply depressing at the very least. But of course, the internet sleuths, they get into stuff pretty quickly. And then this came out literally yesterday, within 24 hours of John Stewart doing that bit. This is from the New York Post. It didn't take long for the internet sleuths to look into Stewart's own property history, which shows his New York City penthouse sold for 829% more than its assessed value, records confirmed by the Post reveal. In 2014, Stewart sold his 6,280 square foot Tribeca duplex to financier Parag Pandey for 17.5 mil. The property's asking price at the time is not available in the listing records, but according to 2013-2014 assessor records obtained by the Post, the property had the estimated market value of 1.882 million. The actual assessor valuation was even lower at 847,000. Records also show that Stewart paid significantly lower property taxes, which were calculated based on the assessor valuation price, precisely what he called Trump out for doing in his Monday monologue. Pandey, who purchased the penthouse from Stewart, then resold the property at a nearly 26% loss, according to The Real Deal, at just 13 million in 2021. Surprised anyway. Stewart did respond to it. I think it's worth reading his glib response. OMG, I've been caught doing something not remotely similar to Trump. Actually, same thing. I guess all I need to do now is start a fraud college, steal classified docs, bankrupt casinos, pay hush money, grab discriminate in housing, cheat at golf, and foment insurrection, and you'll revere me. All right. Yeah, okay. So the machine pays you well to do that stuff.
Thank you, Dave Rubin. I really appreciate him with his show. I think he does a fantastic show, and everything that Dave Rubin said is exactly what I wanted to tell you. We have the two-tier justice system. Donald Trump did nothing wrong. He paid back his loan. The bank obviously had to do their due diligence. He didn't just get free money for nothing. So, Dave Rubin, thanks for that report. So when Chris Bogard was on my show, I didn't realize the extent of what that meant for the bridge to collapse. I didn't really understand that. And he explained a little bit more because I don't know that part of the country very well. I've only lived in the Southwest my whole life. I've only been to DC as a child. So I didn't know the significance of that bridge. And Stitchfield did a great job explaining more about that. But so did Chris. So there was, but when I saw the bridge collapse, I was very much wondering, there has to be more to the story. It's just something about my spidey senses picked up on, there is something weird about this story. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one when Chris came on the show and started talking more about it. But I wanted to play this clip from Stitchfield because he too has more to offer on the bridge collapse. And I just thought it was worth sharing on this episode.
I will tell you what, we are getting more questions that need to be answered than we're getting answers about this bridge collapse at Baltimore and the crash that led up to it. Do you know that we are now learning that there were 13 Centers for Disease Control containers on board this ship? Those containers are labeled hazmat. We're told an elite Coast Guard group was inspecting those containers, but we garnered this information from the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency. Why is CISA investigating this crash that the FBI was very quick to tell us was an accident? So now we've got these containers from the CDC that were headed to Sri Lanka, by the way. That's where the Dolly was headed, to Sri Lanka. What was in the containers? These are things we want to know. Where were they headed? It doesn't have anything to do with the crash. Then today we learn that the black box apparently is missing data from 2 minutes before the crash. This is National Transportation Safety Board investigators.
At 0124 and 59 seconds, numerous audible alarms were recorded on the ship's audio, bridge audio. About the same time, VDR sensor data ceased recording. However, the VDR audio continued to record using the redundant power source. At around 0126 and 2 seconds, the VDR resumed recording sensor data. And during this time, there were steering commands and rudder orders recorded on the audio.
So those steering commands recorded on the audio, but the auto disappears. How does that happen? See, I don't believe in coincidences. If you look at the video of this, again, nothing makes sense. We were told now over the last few days that the wind was blowing at 13 knots, and that could account for the ship twisting in the channel. But if you look at the water there, it is crystal smooth. Anyone that's a sailor knows that doesn't look like 13-knot winds along that water. Now, also, the pilot did drop anchor, according to investigators. That is protocol when you lose engine power. He also went right full rudder, which apparently turned the ship towards the column of the bridge. The question becomes, why would you drop anchor and turn full right rudder? Why wouldn't you just drop anchor and let it stop in the direction you're going and leave the bridge out of it? Unless they didn't have control of it somehow. You know, this maneuver of the reverse thrusters, the right full rudder, and dropping anchor. Do you know what ship did the exact same maneuver? The Titanic. That's exactly what happened to the Titanic when it hit that giant iceberg. So all of this is raising very questions because the ship now had on board 764 tons of hazardous materials on board. This again is NTSB investigators talking about the hazardous materials on board.
Some of the hazmat containers were breached. We have seen shear on, or Sheen, sorry, Sheen on the waterway. The federal, state, and local authorities are aware of that, and they will be in charge of addressing those issues.
Remember, folks, the FBI came out very quickly and said this was all an accident. How would they know that? I'm not telling you it's terrorism. I'm not telling you it's on purpose, but I'm not telling you it's not. Because any investigator would know you've got to look at all of the data, you've got to look at all of the evidence, and then make a determination. How do they come out hours after this and make a determination that this was an accident? With the hazardous materials, the CDC containers on board, now you have a major port cut off. This is an economic disaster, including hazardous materials in the water. You know what happens now when it comes to cleanup and the regulatory environment surrounding all of that. So was this an attack? Well, investigative journalist Laura Logan is convinced it was. She has sources deep inside the federal government. She talked to her own Steve Bannon. Listen to her.
Why are you coming to the mic telling the country that it's not terrorism when your own intelligence agencies are telling you it is? And I know they are, because I didn't make this up. These are not my words, right? I'm talking to people who are on the inside, some who are on active duty, some who are retired, and everyone, literally from critical infrastructure in Department of Homeland Security to the intelligence agencies, they know there's no other, this is a cyber attack on a critical infrastructure corridor for the United States.
All right, Laura Logan made a very interesting point that unless you attack the United States military, almost every other kind of attack against the United States goes unnoticed with no response, from cyber attacks to possibly a critical infrastructure attack like this, maybe combining the two. Then it was brought to my attention from whistleblowers inside the Chinese Communist Party working with the new federal state of China that they have something called remote towing technology. They used it on billionaire Chinese dissident Miles Guo's yacht, the Lady May, going back to 2017, when the FBI launched an investigation that the Lady May lost engine power. Miles Guo and the whistleblowers say it was the Chinese Communist Party using the technology called remote towing that can take over the electronics of boats, of planes, trucks, and cars. This is how Miles Guo described it a couple years ago.
The CCP is absolutely capable of doing this. The remote towing technology of the CCP is very mature. I have seen it myself before, I dare say it now. This is why the yacht Lady May lost control in the Hudson River when I was on it. She lost control. Then I suddenly remembered it's the CCP has remote towing technology. Then I immediately put my phone to the other boat next to her. Then Lady May returned to normal. When I put my phone back on Lady May, she lost control again. Eventually, it was determined that my phone had been hacked. When the FBI investigated, they were all stunned. This was the first case they had ever seen. And they finally understood that the CCP had mastered the technology of remote towing. When I met with the CIA, they were also very surprised. They were convinced that the CCP now had this capability as well. In my testimony, I told all the relevant government agencies many times that the CCP is capable of hacking into and controlling all the modern computerized electronics in the United States. Anything that has a computer, a chip, a plane, a car, a yacht, or a boat, including the smart home electronics in your home, the CCP can hack and control them all. So for anyone who has to deal with the evil CCP, we can't underestimate them.
I want to pause that just for a second, because he says anything with a chip. Ah, that could also include our election equipment as well. So just wanted to throw that out there.
All right. Now, look, folks, I don't know if the CCP is behind this or not, but I would hope that federal investigators are looking into this instead of coming out and telling the public that no, by all accounts, this looks like an accident, when they hadn't even realized the black box was missing data. Nothing adds up on this, folks.
So that was, I felt like, a very good take on the boat collapsing, because a lot of new information keeps coming out daily. And I'm glad I'm not the only one with a tinfoil hat that's saying there's something more to it than what meets the eye.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey, friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, spike support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's spike support formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
Hey, this is Jeff Dornick and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Hey friends, are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. Our investment strategy works in an up or down market and actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking to own some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com and let them know Amber sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show and now we return to the show already in progress.
And I wanted to go in and talk about what just happened in New York with Biden trying to raise money for his campaign. But before I do that, you know, we have seen so many of our side getting attacked and MyPillow is no different. And all of you out there know that Mike Lindell's MyPillow no longer has the support of the big box stores or the shopping channels the way they used to. And they've been part of this cancel culture. So they want to pass the savings directly on to us. And they're having an extravaganza sale, $25 extravaganza sale. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, then since then, he's helped of his dedicated employees. And now they have hundreds of products. Some of you may not even know about. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza sale, two pack. Now this is a great deal. A two pack multi-use MyPillow, just $25. It's getting warm out there. So MyPillow has sandals. You can get them for $25. This is amazing. I love their six pack towel set. You have to grab it. The six-pack towel set is now $25. Their towels are out of this world incredible. One of my favorite products. Brand new four-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. And for the very first time, the premium MyPillows with the all Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. So this amazing offer won't last long. So order now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout. MyPillow.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout. And when you do, you're going to get free shipping on your entire order. $25 for all these products plus free shipping. Go now to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout. So, you know, Joe Biden is trying to campaign now, and I just don't think it's working out for him. He had to get all the big heavy hitters on the Democrat side. And so I wanted to play this clip from you from Fox News about what some people suspect is going on in the Joe Biden campaign. So
right now. And even though the former president is doing quite well in the polls, in the money race, different story. Hal Lambert is a GOP mega donor, and he has some thoughts on how the former president might be able to catch up. Hal, good seeing you. You know, these are big affairs, these type of celebrity-filled events and media events. They get a lot of attention. I just get annoyed because it means a lot of traffic in New York, and I have trouble moving around. And what do you think?
Well, I would say this. I think it's having the celebrities there and having to have the former presidents there says a lot about Biden's effort to be able to raise money on his own. I mean, I don't think he would come close to that number of $25 million had he not had all the celebrities and not the former presidents there. And he really needs them there to actually be able to communicate and talk to the guests and entertain. I think it's difficult for him to do at this point. So I think it's a bad sign.
Truth be told, Joe Biden has prior to this been winning a lot of money before this big shindig. So don't you think that if you're a president, I mean, Jimmy Carter famously raised a lot of money in his reelection campaign. It didn't help him. But the fact of the matter is that presidents by virtue of being presidents.
Isn't that funny? The machine used Jimmy Carter as an example. I just think that was funny.
Can't they?
Oh, they can. There's no question about it. And there's going to be plenty of money, I think, on both sides. I'll give you a little tip on this. President Trump is having a fundraiser shortly, and the money was due in by the end of the quarter. Because, again, this is all about March 30th, right? You know, end of the quarter reporting. And he's going to have over $25 million raised at his fundraiser, and he doesn't have anybody else showing up there that, you know, superstars to help him raise it. He's doing it on his own. So I think that Biden will probably raise more this quarter than Trump. Because mainly Trump wasn't able to secure the nomination with Nikki Haley running, you know, still running until she got out. And then that brings the RNC money in, which is why people are probably wondering, well, how does someone give $500,000? Well, that goes through all these committees and there's ways to do it once you're the nominee. Biden's the nominee. He can do it. Trump can now do it as well.
Yeah, but you were dragging that whole nomination out with Ron DeSantis, right? So you're to blame for his financial pickle, right?
Now, Ron got out, you know, he got out early, got out before New Hampshire. So,
by the way, it was only just barely. Just so I could understand this, you're all in on Donald Trump now. You'll help him any way you can, right?
Yeah, it's a binary choice. And yes, I mean, I don't think we can have another 4 years of Biden. I don't know the country could survive it.
You know, they're looking at this, you know, recent economic streak. They think the numbers look good. They think the market looks good. They normally don't talk about the stock market, but they're talking about these records. They're talking about the great start of this year, and that's the wind at their proverbial back. What do you say?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for them because the average person, it doesn't own a lot of stock, and so they're not seeing it. What they're seeing is higher food prices, higher gas prices, higher housing prices. I mean, if you look at the percentages of increases, I mean, mortgage rates are double what they were when Trump was in office. Gas prices are much higher. Food prices are much higher. And that's what they can't hide. You know, the media can't spin their way out of that. For Biden. I mean, it's just people see it every day. You go to lunch, you get some food for dinner, and it's twice as much money or three times as much as what it used to be.
We'll watch closely. Hal, great seeing you again.
So the machine just cannot stand the fact that Donald Trump is doing really well. But here's the thing I wanted to show you. So during Biden's campaign fundraiser, this crazy thing happened. And I'm so glad it did because there was an audience member who broke out and started yelling at Joe Biden, shame on you, shame on you. And started calling him blood is on your hands, which is true. So I wanted to play this for you. And then of course they escort her out. But I mean, everything the lady said is true. So check this video at his fundraiser. This is from the Western Journal.
There was an insurrection.
Shame on you, Joe Biden!
Look how little people are in that music.
Putin, genocide of Palestine, and no amount of vulgar saying that you do will change the billions that you are doing. You blood on your hands! Blood on your hands!
So there was very few people you could see at a presidential fundraiser. I mean, hardly anyone was there. You could see glimpses of that. Several seats were vacant. And you had the biggest heavy hitters for the Democrat Party. You had Bill Clinton and you had Barack Obama trying to campaign for Joe Biden. And the protester repeatedly interrupted former Vice President Joe Biden's campaign fundraiser Thursday at the New York City famed Radio City Music Hall. Biden appeared with the last two Democrat presidents, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, who took part in a conversation moderated by Stephen Colbert, the host of The Late Night. Not funny at all. Have you realized that how much they have just ruined Hollywood and the late night shows? I loved Jay Leno before. He used to be funny. He had funny bits, but all the late night host guests now, they're terrible. None of their jokes are funny. You have to have laugh tracks because they're not funny. According to the New York Post, the three were interrupted a total of six times by anti-Israeli protesters who presumably vote Democrat. One was captured on video shared on X. Shame on you, Joe Biden. A woman yelled, shame on you, shame on you. Others in the crowd seemed to be telling the woman to sit down, be quiet, but she continued to yell, you have effing genocide in Palestine, she seemed to say, and no amount of false concern, you will change the billions. We'll change the billions that you are doing. It's not clear what she said exactly, and even less clear what she meant, but she certainly didn't seem happy. Neither, however, were some of the people near her in the crowd. Get the blank out of here, one man screamed. Tell her as the video began jumping, presumably because security had taken a hold of the protester and was escorting her from the building. You have blood on your hands, she shrieked, and she was escorted from the venue. Blood on your hands, which she does. Other demonstrators made similar interpretations, according to the Post. So in addition, hundreds of other anti-Israel demonstrators appeared outside of the Post. Outside of what the Post described as the star-studded campaign fundraiser. Wow, he needs that many supposed Hollywood stars just to even raise a fraction of the money. Taking part in something called the Flood Manhattan for Gaza event, shouting free, free Palestine. Others yelled blank Joe Biden and genocide Joe has to go. And many waved Palestinian flags and held signs denouncing the president of the Democratic Party as war criminals, the outlet reported, and at least one was arrested. And it's unlikely that these demonstrators will be voting for the Republican presidential nominee in November, presumably former President Donald Trump, of course, but they seemed about as likely to vote the straight Democrat ticket as well. So, which means they'll either stay home or vote for some irrelevant third party candidate, most likely. And every American leftist who doesn't vote to reelect Biden is a win as far as this writer is concerned. So just to kind of go along with that theme of what is happening in the President Trump's camp for fundraising. Well, this is interesting. I thought this story was interesting. So this is coming from the Washington Times. Yeah, the Washington Times. So outpaced by Biden, Trump hopes to rank in a record $33 million during a Florida fundraiser. So the former president, Donald Trump's campaign is seeking to outraise Joe Biden next week, aiming to take in more than $33 million to top a new single event fundraising record set by Biden on Thursday with $25 million. So let's see, $25 million. Oh, geez. Said a person familiar with the Trump event who spoke on a condition of anonymity to discuss internal planning. Trump is inviting wealthy donors to Palm Beach, Florida, home to his Mar-a-Lago estate for April 6th fundraiser hosted by New York hedge fund billionaire John Paulson and listing as co-chair other high donors such as Las Vegas-based businessman Robert Bigelow, casino mogul Steve Wynn, and New York grocery billionaire as well. Guests are being asked to contribute $814,000 per person as a chairman contributor or $250,000 per person. Perks of attendance includes a personalized copy of Trump's coffee table book with photographs from his administration, and the plan to reach the fundraising goal of $33 million were first reported by Financial Times. Now, assuming that Trump succeeds in ranking in a jaw-dropping sum, the glitzy event offers Trump an opportunity to sweat the narrative following months of negative headlines that have followed on his dwindling political cash haul and his use of $10 million in donations to pay legal fees from a myriad of court cases. And we just talked about some of them. And we are not only raising the necessary funds, but we are deploying strategic assets that will help send President Trump back to the White House and carry the Republican over the finish line, said Trump campaign spokesman. So, you know, Donald Trump did not have any celebrities to come to his fundraiser like Joe Biden did, but he is still hoping that, and it's believed that he might be able to outpace Joe Biden. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, I just thought this story was very interesting because in the times that we're living in right now, we are a part of the Great Reset. We're the fourth industrial revolution, according to Klaus Schwab. And in his book, Klaus Schwab's book, he wants us to own nothing and be happy. And we are finding housing as a big problem today in the United States. The cost of owning a home is exuberant. The price of rent is just exploded. And it's not by anything but design, and from what I gather. And so we're going to get into that today on a few articles that I picked out. And it's really frustrating because our Constitution wants us to live life and have liberty and prosperity. And our common capitalistic model of economics wants us to be able, and we should be able to thrive and have more opportunity than people in other countries. But the globalists out there, and it's not just here in the United States, it's in Europe, it's all over the world. They don't want you to own anything. They want you to be totally dependent on the government. They want you to rent, and they're going to dictate how much your rent's going to be. So check out this article from yournews.com. It's called The Wall Street Takeover, Corporate Investors Reshaping the U.S. Housing Landscape. Now, just to be clear, this is not just happening in the United States, but it's happening all over the world. So it's us against them. It's us against them. I had a show on not that long ago with a gentleman from the Canary Islands. And what they're experiencing in Europe is what we're experiencing here. Why? Because it's a global takeover. We know that President Bolsonaro, a president, was thrown in jail just like they wanted you to President Trump. Why? Because he wanted to fight against the global tyranny. And so what did they put? A criminal in the seat of the presidency in Brazil. So going back to this story, corporate investors are reshaping the housing market. Following the Great Recession, a significant transformation has been observed in America's housing market with the emergence of corporate investors as a new breed of landlords. The shift has led to the accumulation of vast portfolios of single-family homes, notably in economically distressed areas. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. You know, remember the Summer of Love and the mostly peaceful protest? Those are by design to destroy the value of those properties so that rich investors can come in and swoop up those properties at a devalued rate because someone purposely destroyed it. It's all by design. It's nothing coincidental. They destroy these areas of cities and towns and neighborhoods so that they can swoop up the land and buy them at a discount and then turn around and make you rent at full price. I mean, not just full price, but at the top, in the top of the market. In the notably economic distressed areas. So when you see these almost peaceful protests, know this is what's going on in the background. Carol Camp Yankee, the Marshall of Snope Professor of Arts and Science at Washington University, spearheads a two-year national study to explore the repercussions of this trend with a particular focus on community of color. The initiative extends from the research outlined in her paper published in the American Journal of Economic and Sociology, which delves into the aftermath of the late 2000s foreclosure crisis. The crisis paved a way for corporate entities to purchase homes at reduced prices, adopting a strategy described as buy low, rent high. Now, I remember trying to buy a home at this time, and I didn't have cash. I was like you, having a mortgage. Like I went and I got a loan, and I was approved, and I was going to pay with a mortgage. Well, I could never get into a house. It took me a long time. It took me probably over a year to finally get into a house because all these corporations were paying cash for all these homes. I remember that very well. And so according to the university, this phenomenon has exacerbated the affordability crisis in the housing market, sidelining an increasing number of Americans. The scale of corporate ownership has surged dramatically by 2021. Now, RFK Jr. has been talking about this too on his campaign trail. The top five single family renter operators owned around 300,000 homes. Klaus Schwab says you're going to own nothing and be happy. I don't think you're happy, are you? You don't own anything and rent sky high. You're having to work two jobs just to pay rent. Are you happy? So CAMP's preliminary investigations reveal that such ownership is predominantly concentrated in the Midwest and Sun Belt regions, raising concerns about the method employed by these corporate landowners. Practice includes significant rent hikes, eviction threats, inadequate maintenance, and hefty fines, drawing a parallel to modern-day redlining, especially targeting low-income Latino and Black communities. I will say that it is across the board. It is not just in those communities. It is across the board. So I just want to let you know that this is happening. You can read more about it at yournews.com. But this is not, like I said, just happening in the United States. It's also happening around the world. So just to our neighbors north of us, we're going to see an article also come out about something similar. And this is from Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge says that the Canadians are blanked secret RCMP report. So they're beep. So Canadians are beep. The coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that younger generations have already witnessed compared to earlier generations. The whole of government five-year trend report of Canada, of which aforementioned heavily redacted version was made public thanks to access of information requests filed by Matt Malone, an assistant professor of law at British Columbia's Thomas Rivers University. Thank God some of these professors are doing research on this. Praise God for that. And an expert in government secrecy. For example, many Canadians under 35 are unlikely ever able to buy a place to live. Did you catch that? Many Canadians under 35 are unlikely ever to buy a place to live by design. They don't want you to own anything. I just told you why. They want to own. They want you to own nothing. They want to own everything. They want to rake up the price. Homelessness is going to shoot up more than it's ever done before. They want you to own nothing. And if you guys think that renting is how rich people live, it's not. I work in financial planning, ownership, owning stuff, owning land, owning... participating in the market, using financial tools that are out there to grow wealth. This is what rich people do. They don't rent. They rent to people, but they don't rent themselves. So according to the report, labeled as special operation information and originally intended to be distributed only within the RCMP among decision makers and the federal government, trends are in motion that could have significant effect on the Canadian government and the RCMP. I'm really not sure what that is. I'm not Canadian. But the author warns that Canadians' current situation will probably deteriorate further in the next 5 years. And that is addition to worsening living standards. Canada faces unpredictable seasonal catastrophes, including wildfires and flooding. Another major theme in the report is that Canadians are said to become increasingly disillusioned with their government, which authors more chalk to misinformation, conspiracy theories, and paranoia. Basically, the truth that your government is not for you, it's against you. Just like our government's not for us, it's against us. Just like the EU is not for the Europeans, it's against them. It's to take their civil liberties away. It's to take their sovereignty away. If you really dig into what they're doing, that's what they're doing. And they want you to own nothing and be happy. So this past 7 years have been seen as marked social and political polarization in the Western world, reads part of the first sentence as a heavily redacted section entitled Erosion of Trust, with the remainder deleted by government censors, who also eliminated most of a section warning about paranoid populism. So they don't want us to know what's going on. They're constant. Who's really doing the misinformation? A heavily redacted paper, heavily redacted package inserts in vaccines, heavily censored documents, constantly, redacted documents. Who's really giving misinformation? Is it all of us podcasters that are trying to get the news out there to you? Or is it the government trying to keep their secrets secret so you don't know about it and you can't find out about it because they heavily redact everything so we don't have written proof of it? Writing everything down is so important, and that is why they want us to be illiterate. They don't want us to know anything. They don't want us to read at grade level. They don't want us to know how to write. They're ruining our education system because smart people can fight back. Smart people can read. Smart, people who are educated, and not necessarily smart people, educated people can read and write and fight back. When you can't read at grading level, and here in America, that's what's happening at our seniors, can't even read at a 12th grade level. And that's not just here in the United States, it's also in Europe. When they're flooding our country with foreigners to change the dynamic of our culture, and it's not just here, and they're also trying to do that to get them to vote, because you can go to MBD now and you don't have to show proof of citizenship, and that's across the country doing that. When they're flooding the gates of Europe too, they're doing the same thing. Don't you guys see? It's us versus them. What they're doing here, they're doing globally, because a small group of these billionaire oligarchs control all the corporations that we buy into. That's why the parallel economy is so important and vital. Taking your kids out of public school, putting them into homeschooling or a Christian education is so important. Having school choice is important because they're indoctrinating our kids from, it started in the college level and now it's down to the elementary school. And in an upcoming episode, we're going to talk about that. But in a previous episode with Alex Newman, we talked about they're indoctrinating your children to death.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Amber. That's PatriotMobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT.
I'm Abe Hamadeh, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
This is all by design. But here's something to switch things up a little bit. I found this very fascinating because they have been pushing this carbon neutral agenda for years now. And they've been accelerating it. And you know what? If you want to buy an electric car, go for it. In a capitalistic society, if the demand's there, the product will be there. If the demand's not there, then it just won't be, or it won't be as popular. It's about supply and demand in a capitalistic society. What our government and what European governments and the governments all over the world are trying to push is this supposedly green agenda that's not so green. Okay. If you want to buy an electric vehicle, do it. But don't do it because you think it's going to be good and carbon neutral, because all these commercials on TV now that I'm seeing, we're going to be carbon neutral by 2030 something. Everything's based on carbon, based on my high school chemistry class, so I'm sorry, you can't be. What's carbon neutral? What does that mean? Everything is based on carbon. I'm a carbon being. Like, I have carbon in my body. Everything is has building blocks of carbon. What does that exactly mean? Okay, so they want to take us from supposedly this green power plants that will really take us to a third world country, because the solar supply and the wind supply isn't there. And when you get down to the nitty gritty of it, it really isn't that clean of an energy. When you really get down to the nitty gritty and you find that it's destroying a lot of the animal habitats. So why I found this article interesting, and I hope that more and more states will pick this up, because we need to go back to this. I really think we need to go back to this. Zero Hedge is reporting that in a historical reversal, U.S. is going to restart a shutdown nuclear power plant for the first time ever. And I think this is huge, because what we have found is that nuclear power is the cleanest form of energy so far. And it really works and it powers everything. You look at California and they're constantly taking power from Arizona because Arizona has nuclear power plants still. Now, with the changing election interference and the people at the helm right now, I don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to try and shut down the power plants that are here and try and go to the supposedly green energy? I don't know. But right now, we have nuclear power, and I would love Arizona to pick up more nuclear power plants, and you could do small nuclear power plants. So it's a long-awaited overdue restart of the American nuclear age finally here. I sure hope so. In a move which may force the lunatic Green to storm the White House on Wednesday, the federal government announced that it would provide $1.5 billion loan to restart a nuclear power plant in southwestern Michigan. New Jersey-based International acquired the 800-megawatt Palisade plant in 2022, which plans to disseminate it. But the support from the state of Michigan and the Biden administration, the emphasis has shifted to restarting the nuclear power plant by late 2025. I think that is fantastic. Not only is it going to provide a lot of power, clean power, it's going to provide a lot of jobs. And the thing that surprises me is the fact that Joe Biden's administration and the Michigan government, which I think is mostly blue, I don't know, I know the governor is behind this. I just think that's remarkable. And what is remarkable is that the U.S. is throwing some money at a nuclear power plant, since the U.S. sells $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. It might as well go to full Brewster's Millions and spend it at all ASAP, which this would be the first nuclear power plant to be reopened in the U.S., setting a precedent as atomic energy makes a triumphal comeback. Sure, it still faces hurdles, including inspections, testing, blessings of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, but those are just formalities. Watch as the NPP starts signing up across the country next. So I sure hope this is it. So nuclear power is the single largest source of carbon-free electricity. Oh my goodness. Directing, supporting 100,000 jobs across the country and hundreds of thousands more indirectly, said Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, a former Michigan governor who in turn is repeating what nuclear advocates have been saying for decades. Restarting this particular plant will protect 600 union jobs and 1,100 throughout the community. I just think it's a great idea. Here's a picture of the power plant. So I just wanted to share that with you. I just thought it was fantastic. But on some more somber news, some more sad news, this kind of breaks my heart. We need to support the men and women in uniform, back the blue and the brown. You know, we support our military and we should support our military. But our law enforcement are what protects us here in our neighborhoods, in our states. What the military does abroad, our police do here for us. And the attack on police is part of the communistic model, because they have to take away the people's protection. Once they take away your guns and once they distract you and take away the police, you and I are left as sitting ducks, not able to defend ourselves. So this makes me kind of sad. It's a sad kind of story, but I want to share it nonetheless because I think it's worth sharing. And this is from the Western Journal. That family of fallen New York police officer gets a massive $1 billion gift. Now, that's kind of nice. But the fact is, if it was me, if that was my husband, I'd rather have my husband than $1 million. And I'm sure that wife feels the same way. So the article says, no amount of money could ever bring someone back from the dead. But in the wake of a senseless tragedy that left a wife without her husband and an infant without his father, an infant, generosity towards them would be commendable. Jonathan Diller was one such victim of a senseless tragedy that have increasingly overtaking our cities. He was a New York City cop who was murdered Monday. And I hate when they say this, routine traffic stop. I'm sorry, there's never a routine traffic stop. No such thing as a routine traffic stop. He was murdered Monday doing a traffic stop, turned into a shootout. And the shooter was allegedly a 34-year-old Guy Rivera, a man with over 20 prior arrests, including drug charges and other violent offenses. And the man accused of driving the car during the shootout, a 41-year-old Lindy Jones, had a similar criminal record. Diller's story went viral, especially when people learned that Diller left behind a wife, Stephanie, and a 1-year-old son who's never going to know his father. That just really breaks my heart. A GoFundMe page to support Diller's wife and son, according to New York Post, has raised over $490,000. But among the most massive of the monetary contributions have come from the founder of populist Barstool Sports podcast, Dave. And Fox News reported that Portno initially started his fundraiser on Wednesday via video shared to the social media platform X and Portno's TikTok account. So thank you so much, Dave, for doing that and raising money for the New York City police officer. It's store.barstoolsports.com, and you can go ahead and purchase some apparel from him, and some of the proceeds are going to go to his wife, I'm sure. In the video, Portney told his followers that in support of Diller's family, we put t-shirts on sale. We've raised about 230 to 240 grand directly for the family, praise God. And every penny that we make goes to the family. On top of that, whatever we sell, whatever we make, end of the day, tonight, midnight, he's going to match it. So I think that's wonderful. On Thursday morning, the Post reported Portnoy's fundraiser had raised $750,000, which Portnoy has told his followers on X to match and to make a total of $1.5 million. I just want to point this out, though, because I really like Benny Johnson, and Benny Johnson made a very great observation. And he says in his X post that Joe Biden and Barack Obama arrived in New York for a fundraiser while Donald Trump was en route to the wake of the slain New York police officer, Jonathan Diller. And I just want you to look at this man with his son, this man right here who's never going. His son is never going to know his father. And that's what all of us face that live in. If you live in that law enforcement lifestyle, that's what you face every day when you send your husband or your wife out to the job. It's long hours. Sometimes you never come home because if the investigation's still going on and things are hot in that lead, you continue to follow that lead. They don't care about holidays. Crime doesn't care about holidays, doesn't care about your special events. Crime happens all the time, and these police officers are out there all the time. The hours are extremely long. The workload is extremely high, and the burnout rate is extremely high. And more people are leaving the job because the crime is just exploding, and the incentive is just not there. You see this. Was it really great that this little boy died? His father died. I mean, thank God that his dad tried to stop a crime from happening, but this is why people don't want to go into law enforcement. They just don't see. They just don't want to take the risk. And unfortunately, we're seeing less and less police officers on the street, which means our neighborhoods are not going to be as safe as they could be. So the blood is on the hand of the anti-police Democrats like O'Biden. That's what Nick Sordo said in his Twitter or his X post. So that's what I have for you today. I hope you'll like, share, and subscribe to the show. And I just want to thank you for joining me today on the Amber May Show. Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show. EBSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involves risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.